Welcome and thank you for connecting with Open Door Church. Today we will be bringing God's Word in a new sermon series titled Rhythm, Living a Sustainable Christian Life. In a world that never seems to slow down, maybe it's time we get back to the simplicity of walking with Christ in the fellowship of His church for the good of the world. Rather than constantly seeking out the next world-changing craze, let us be content with quiet, habitual, step-by-step faithfulness. In other words, we need to get in rhythm with living a sustainable Christian life. Now, with today's message, here's Pastor Luke.
I think I must still have one foot in sabbatical, so I forgot my Bible back here. I can't preach without the Bible. I also can't preach without water, because I get parched. I also can't preach without a stethoscope. So, everybody take your finger, your hand, whatever, and check your pulse. There's a rhythm to it, and those who are medically trained, you know the sound that your heart is supposed to make, right? It's supposed to say lub-dub, am I right? All right, some of you listen to your heart, and what is it saying? It's saying, like, need more coffee, right? I think that's what we hear. But there's a vitally important part of our heartbeat. It has to have a healthy rhythm. My own personal experience with a heart that wasn't in rhythm was one of the most scary things I've ever experienced. I was in high school. I was lying down on my bed, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but this is the first of a few times that this happened to me. I didn't notice my heartbeat. Just as a rule, I don't notice my heartbeat. It just happens, right? Until I thought that it stopped. I was laying in bed, and I was like, my heart just stopped. Oh, no, what in the world? Like, do I have 2 seconds to live? I mean, those thoughts went through my head. It was the weirdest feeling I've ever felt. My heart stopped, and all of a sudden, it felt like, and there was nobody else there. It was just me and my little heart. It felt like somebody took their fist and pounded the middle of my chest, so like, poof. And then it started beating, like, really hard, just pound, pound, pound. I was like, that ain't right. Something isn't right. And it happened a couple more times. I went to see the doctor, and I was like, something's wrong with my heart. Something's wrong with my heart. He was like, do you drink a lot of caffeine? Do you drink coffee? And I was like, no. And I was like, wait, there's a lot of caffeine in Surge. Isn't there? It's like Mountain Dew with extra caffeine added. He was like, yeah, there's a lot of caffeine in Surge. How much do you drink, Surge? And I said, a lot. And he said, well, your heart isn't actually stopping per se. The caffeine, it jumpstarts your heart. So instead of being in a healthy rhythm, lub-dub, lub-dub, mine was like, beep, 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 like that. And it just pushes too much blood through the heart, and then it has to wait, and that's when I thought it stopped. It was waiting to fill back up with blood because it pushed way too much out because it was too excited. It was hyped up on Surge and caffeine, and then it had to jolt itself to get back into a healthy rhythm. And so I had a choice, get rid of coffee or caffeine, so I coffee too and Surge, or experience that again. I was like, that's easy. I want my heart to be in a healthy rhythm. So I cut out soda pop, and lo and behold, my heart stayed in a healthy rhythm. And I, by the grace of God, I have slowly weaned myself onto coffee as an adult so I can actually handle coffee, and I love it. But here's what I want us to do. And I want you to think with me for a moment. If you could take your finger, if you will, and place it on the pulse, the heartbeat of your life. Is your life in a healthy rhythm? What is a healthy rhythm supposed to look like? What is it supposed to feel like? This week, we are going to be embarking on the first of 4 weeks, a 4-week series called Rhythm. We are going to be focusing on living a sustainable Christian life. And by the way, this follows right in our theme for the year. We're talking about renewal, right? Though our outer person or outer man is wasting away, our spirit or our inner man is being renewed day by day. As we have experienced me being gone on sabbatical for 3 months, we were seeking, I personally, my family, we were seeking renewal. And I think it's important for us as a church, for a local body of Christians, to focus together on what that means to have renewal. And so for these next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at this word rhythm and what it looks like to live a sustainable Christian life. And we're going to look at one principle each week. Today, we're going to be looking at the word retreat. Retreat. If you have your Bibles or grab one, grab your, turn them on or open them up, whatever you have. And we're going to Mark chapter 1. And we're going to look together at just kind of an overview of what's happening in most of the chapter. And then we are going to focus in our attention on verse 35. Before we jump into it, let's pause, let's pray, and let's ask God to focus our hearts and minds into His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You for Your Word. I teased about the fact that I can't preach without the Bible, and we can have fun with that, but it's, I hope it's obvious to maybe any guests or newer people that we have that I tease a little bit, but there are churches and people that try to navigate life without Your Word. God, that's not us. We come to Your Word humbly, seeking to learn from these pages and these words what it is that You have for us, a truth, a principle, a practice that You're going to help us understand and help us apply to our lives so that we can leave this place different, changed, better, and hopefully live more like Jesus. God, we'll give You all the praise for working in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Gospel of Mark, just don't want to go too far down this path, but if you look at the different Gospels, each of them are a little bit different. The Gospel of Mark, as you may recall from our Christmas series last year, we actually looked at Christmas from each of the four different Gospels, and Mark doesn't start out with a manger scene. It doesn't start out with a genealogy. It doesn't start out even like John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It doesn't start with the deity of Christ. The Gospel of Mark is written primarily to Gentiles, and it's written to demonstrate all the things that Jesus did. So it's saying we're going to jump right into the ministry of Jesus. And it starts out with Mark saying in the first few verses, the ministry of John the Baptist. John the Baptist prepares the way for Jesus. So if you've ever gone to a concert, you have the opening band, right? And then you have the main band that follows up. Or if you go to a conference, you have the regular speakers, and then you have the keynote speaker, right? John the Baptist, he was the opener. Jesus was the main attraction. He was the main deal. But that starts right into the ministry of Jesus, the preparation for His ministry. And then in verses 9 through 11, it talks briefly about the baptism of Jesus. And then verses 12 and 13, again, Mark doesn't elaborate on the temptation, but he mentions that Jesus was tempted for 40 days. Kind of like God the Father's like, son, welcome to ministry, right? So you're going to have John prepare the way. You're going to be baptized. You're launched into ministry. And then the Spirit's going to lead you out into the wilderness, and you're going to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. Stuff is happening. In verses 14 through 27, this is everything that happens. He starts preaching. He calls the first disciples. He heals a bunch of sick people, and he casts out a bunch of demons. And in the end of verse 28, it says, his fame spread everywhere. That's understandable, isn't it? He hits the ground running. He is going. For 33 years, he was waiting and waiting and waiting. And then when his ministry began, he was ready. And he started doing a lot of things. Consequently, his fame spread everywhere. Now, I want to read, before we get to verse 35, I want to read verses 29 through 34. It says, and immediately He left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Pause 1 second. Mother-in-laws are important. I just want you to know that. You can write a little note. Mother-in-laws are important, okay? That's what Jesus showed us there. But he's in this house. He heals this woman, and then notice what happens in verse 32. It says, that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. Think of the what that means in that sentence. They brought him all who were sick. What would that look like in Columbia, Missouri, if everybody brought to one place all who were sick? It would kind of look like the University of Missouri Level 1 Trauma Center, right? It would be a bunch of people, a bunch of sick people in need of healing in one place. And then verse 33, it says, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And I didn't even look up, you know, how many people that would be, but it's a bunch. Even if you lived in a small town, and this was relatively a smaller area, but it was a bunch of people, a bunch of people. And it says in verse 34, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he also, it says, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. So Jesus had what we would call today the fastest growing ministry around. Like, wow, look at his church plant. Right? Or whatever. Look at his new ministry. Look at what this guy's doing. He's amazing. He's dynamic. He's powerful. He's working miracles. And his ministry is taking off. And he was extremely busy. Don't you see that? He was extremely busy. Let me tell you this before we get to the next verse. It's not, in and of itself, it is not a sin and not wrong to be busy, as long as you're busy doing the right things and busy doing what God has asked you and called you to do. And there are times in our life where we may be busier than other times. And God may call us and lead us to be busier and do the work that is in front of us, and then times where it's a little bit slower. So don't listen to this message and what we're focusing on, this principle of retreat that we're just about to launch into in this next verse, and think that I'm saying it's wrong to be busy. Not necessarily true. Why? Because Jesus was busy. But we're going to see that he had a healthy rhythm. So Jesus was busy, but then we come to verse 35. And here's where we're going to plant for the next several minutes. We see something remarkable. Right in the midst of all of this awesome, wonderful, powerful, busy ministry, it's thriving, it's skyrocketing, Jesus retreats. He retreats. Here's what it says. Mark 1:35. It says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. One more time. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. So what can we learn from this retreat? What can we learn from what Jesus did, and what principle is here that we need to put into our own life to find a healthy rhythm in order to have a sustainable Christian life? As I was reading this and studying this, I came up with four elements to his retreat, and we're just going to walk through them. The first one, these are my words, is make a time. Make a time. It says, very early in the morning, which incidentally, that phrase, it literally means the fourth watch of the night, which would be between 3 and 6 a.m. The King James reads, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day. All right? And the early morning risers, I know what you're thinking. Yep, it's more spiritual. The Bible says, rise up early. Give that time to God. And we've heard different preachers say that. In fact, even Larry Lewis last week, we talk about first things first. If you missed that sermon, it's on our website. Listen to it. It was great. First things first. One of the principles he said is give your first moments of every day to God. But the early risers, they're thinking, hey, yeah, that's right. That's spiritual. That's really spiritual. You got to get up early. And for the night owls, we're like, oh boy, I guess I can't be a disciple. I'm probably not even a Christian because my brain doesn't fully start functioning until noon, right? But here's the point. Jesus retreated. He made a time. And I will say it doesn't matter if it's between 3 and 6 a.m. or if it's between 9 p.m. and midnight or if it's between midnight and 3 in the morning. Jesus departed. We need to make a time. We need to make a time to get away. And I want you to think about just for a moment. The whole town was at the door the night before. There were all these people following him. I kind of use my hopefully sanctified imagination, and I can almost picture Jesus walking and all these people, and he's healing people, and he's teaching people, and he's doing these things. And then he looks over and he sees a hillside. And even in the midst of all of his busyness and all of this wonderful, awesome ministry that he's doing, I feel like he probably scouted out a place. He's like, oh, I'm going to carve out some time. I'm going to carve out some time to get there. Because I can't find solitude when I'm in the midst of busyness. I need to retreat. I need to pull away to keep in healthy rhythm. So Jesus departed. We need to make a time. Retreat is part of the rhythm. Secondly, it's rising up early. I think I misspoke and said that he departed. I was reading ahead of my notes. But he rose up early. But secondly is make a move. He departed. And these kind of, they go hand in hand, but I want you to think about the significance of he departed. So he rose up early, he made a time, and then he departed. He made a move. How many of us have great ideas? In fact, most of us have such incredible ideas, we can solve all of the world's problems in a good, solid 15-minute conversation. Am I right? Or at least half of them, right? And it takes another 15 minutes and we solve world hunger and all these things. We have these ideas and these theories and these dreams and we can conjure up these things. Or we look at whatever, some Bowflex commercial, and we're like, yeah, I could look like that in 15 minutes a day. And I'm gonna make some time. Starting tomorrow, I mean, it's midnight 30 right now. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., I'm going to make some time. I'm going to set the alarm, and I'm going to get up, and I'm going to work out. What happens when it comes time to make a move? Our move is snooze. It comes time to make a move, and we hit the snooze. Right? We don't need to raise hands or confess. We've all done it. Probably this morning. I did. I'm like, I'm sleeping in a little bit. Jesus didn't just make time. He departed. He made a move. So if we're going to find that healthy rhythm, we need to make a time to retreat, and we need to make a move to retreat. Jesus departed. We need to make time. We need to make a move. Retreat is part of the rhythm. The third thing that jumped out at me is make some room. Notice the two words, desolate place. Desolate place. So Jesus made a time, he made a move, and he made some room. He made some room. And there's a word that came to my mind, a word that I like. It's called recreation. And I was thinking about recreation versus retreat. While I was on sabbatical, I had a goal to retreat. And my personality is one that likes recreation. So what's the difference? The actual definition of recreation is activity done for enjoyment when one is not working. We like recreation, don't we? But what God challenged me with during my sabbatical was I cannot replace the busyness of work with the busyness of recreation. Why? Because that doesn't support a healthy rhythm in my life. So many times we as Americans, we work hard, play hard, right? We're going to work really, really hard. We're going to make as much money as we can. And then we're going to spend way too much money on vacation and try to rest really fast in 1 week while we're going to all these activities on our vacation. Does that sound familiar? And then we get home and then we need a vacation from our vacation. Why do we all know that? Because we've all been there. Because we didn't really fully or accurately retreat from work. Or retreat from the busyness, I should say. We retreated from work, but we retreated to busy recreation. People asked me before the sabbatical, what are you going to do on your sabbatical? And my shortest answer was, I'm going to attempt to do nothing and hope to succeed. I got pretty good at it, by the way. I'm good for nothing now. Recreation is an activity done for enjoyment when one is not working. But retreat can mean to withdraw if you are in the act of retreating. Or as a destination, it can mean a quiet or secluded place in which one can rest and relax. Jesus didn't pull away from his work and ministry in order to fill his time with other activities. Jesus retreated from his work to make room, seeking solitude, creating time and space in his calendar and in his surroundings. That's why he chose early in the morning, not because it's more spiritual to get up at 3 a.m. It's because he knew in order to successfully retreat, I need to make a time, I need to make a move, but I need to make some room. I need to unclutter my surrounding, get rid of the busyness. It's like walking out of a crowded room and walking into an empty room. You need to create some room. Retreat is part of the rhythm. And then fourthly, meet with God. Meet with God. And that jumped out at me when it says that he prayed. Because we can make a time, we can make a move, and we can make some room, but if we don't meet with God, we're not going to experience the healthy retreat and the healthy other side of the rhythm in our busy lives. Are you with me, church? And I'm not saying that there isn't a time to just do nothing. And we're going to talk a little bit more about some of those aspects of rhythm next week and in the next few weeks. But as a part of the retreat, it's not just I'm making a time, I'm making a move, and I'm making some room, and it's all about me. It's for your health. It's for my health, yes. But what's the healthiest thing that we can do when we have that time and we have made that move and we have room? The healthiest thing that we can do is meet with God. And I'm not saying that, and notice, it doesn't say that Jesus got out a stack of commentaries or Bible dictionaries or whatever. It didn't say that he opened up the law. What I'm saying is it wasn't some sort of a regimented thing. It was a retreat. It was a time for Jesus to get away, get alone, create some room for just him and the Heavenly Father to say, I need to get away, I need to pull away. Even the things that I'm pulling away from, they're good, they're wonderful. And we're going to see that in the next couple of verses here. But he says, I need to make some time, I need to make a move, I need to make some room, but it's vital that I meet with God. Jesus needed to meet with God. I think we need to meet with God. Amen? Retreat is part of the rhythm. So those are the four things, and I'm going to bring this back to one last thought. But we need to make time, make a move, make a place, and meet with God. But then here's the one last thought that brings balance to this principle of retreat. We do not reside in retreat. We don't stay there. We don't stay in solitude. It's part of a rhythm. And if I had more medical knowledge, I would tell you like more stuff about the heartbeat, right? You need all the impulses. You need this charge and that charge. You know, the little squiggly line, it needs to squiggle up and it needs to squiggle down. You need both. Because if you just have a flat line, you're dead. But there has to be a balance. There has to be the work, the doing, the busyness, the obeying what God has called us to do, but then there needs to be the retreat. We can't stay on either side. And so Jesus demonstrates that. He works, he's busy, he's active, he's doing, and then he retreats, but he doesn't stay in the solitude. He doesn't reside in retreat. Look at these three verses in chapter 1, still picking it up in verse 36 through 39. Just listen to this. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. Pause there for a second. And if we dug into this, it was like, it wasn't just like, Marco, Polo. It wasn't like, you know, we're coming to find you. Jesus is hiding. This is fun. I mean, he was healing people, casting out demons, and the ministry was booming. Jesus retreats to a solitary place, a desolate place. He retreats. He's in solitude, and the disciples are like in panic mode. They're like, where in the world is he? We got to find him. There's more sick people. They've been, you know, it's like almost like people camping out in front of Best Buy for the Black Friday sale, right? It's like they're pitching their tents outside of wherever Jesus is staying. Like, I want to be first in line for a healing, or we need him. This is a thriving ministry. And they wake up and they're like, where'd he go? He's dropping the ball. He's not on his A game. This isn't right. And they go searching for him. Come on, we got to get back in the game here. They were searching for him, and they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. You think he didn't know that? Yeah, he knew that. And he said to them, leave me alone. I'm going to hit the snooze button again. I don't want to go to school. No, he didn't say that. He said to them, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went out throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Boom! He's back in the game. He's healthy, right? I love that. I love it. All this busyness going on, all this stuff. And Jesus demonstrates, hey, this busyness isn't bad. In fact, this is why I came. Jesus didn't come to earth to retreat. He didn't come to seek solitude, but he showed us in his humanity, he needed that. And even in his deity and his perfection and all of who Jesus is, he came to minister, right? He came to heal. And this is a reference to Isaiah, the prophecy that says that the Messiah will come to preach freedom to the captives and healing, right, to the sick, and bind up their wounds. You can look at that cross reference. It's beautiful. And he fulfills that prophecy. He said, yeah, I know. I know why I came. I'm the Messiah, and this is why I came. Let's go. Let's go back down off the mountain, back into the busyness of the schedule. But he had a healthy rhythm. Healthy rhythm. So if we put our finger back on the pulse of our lives, do we see a need for a healthier rhythm? Maybe we're too busy. Maybe we're burned out. Maybe we've pulled away into solitude, but we're trying to navigate that. What does that look like? And I feel a little bit lost. Maybe every one of us is probably at a little bit different place in this healthy rhythm of our own spiritual journey and our life with Jesus. remember, retreat is part of the rhythm. Retreat is part of the rhythm. And if you need help navigating that and what that looks like in your life, I don't have all the answers, but God is continuing to help me find that rhythm in my life. And I'd love to be on that journey with you. Retreat is part of the rhythm. And God is going to use us for His purpose and His glory as we live in healthy rhythm with Him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us, for teaching us about the importance of retreat and that retreat is part of the rhythm. God, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you were blessed and inspired by today's message. If you would like to hear more messages like this, we invite you to Open Door Church, 4838 Meadowlark Lane in Columbia.